actually think I'm going to postpone that a week. With your permission, turn the mic on. Thank you. And I thought this morning we'd do something a little different, and that is to take one of the word pictures of the Bible and trace it through to see what biblical truths are associated with it. And since we're meeting this morning with ice and snow and frost on the ground, I thought it would be kind of an interesting study to take ice, snow, and frost in the Bible and see what truths are linked to that. Because we know that for the next several days, we're going to have a lot of this on the ground. And it has kept many people from being able to make it to church this morning. And I want to give you something to think about as you're driving down the street, losing control of your car, and starting to do donuts sliding down the street. Maybe you can be comforted by some of the truths that are associated with this. So let's do that. And I want us to look at a number of things that are linked with ice, snow, or frost, and give us some things to identify with, because God in His creation has ordained that all things declare His glory. And that's the heavens, that's the mountains, the oceans. Everything around us is designed by God in some way to reveal His glory and to be a picture of various truths that we find in the Bible. A couple of years ago, I remember when we had a similar ice storm that we're having now, my neighbor has a huge American elm tree in his backyard. And it's a very large tree. And the ice had coated this tree from top to bottom. And the following day, the clouds dissipated, the sun came out. And I remember standing at the window in our kitchen looking out, and suddenly I noticed this tree was sparkling. And I looked over at the tree, and with the sun shining, with all the ice over all the branches and the twigs, it was shining and sparkling with the colors of a Christmas tree. There was blue and red and green and all of the colors of the rainbow being refracted through the ice. And these little pinpoints of color were just sparkling all over the tree. And I was amazed. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was just like what you would see on a Christmas tree. And it reminded me that through ice, we can find the light of God's glory refracted into the beautiful colors of His attributes and of His character. And that's where I'd like for us to begin in our study of ice, snow, and frost, and what they teach us about the character and the attributes of God. I want to begin with some verses where these things actually communicate to us something about God's judgment. Because ice and snow and things like this in the Bible sometimes refer to an expression of the judgment of God. For example, in Exodus chapter 4, verse 6, it says that when the Lord was giving information and confirmation signs to Moses, He said that, "Now put your hand into your bosom." And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Exodus chapter 4, verse 6. So that he put his hand in his garment and brought it back out, and his hand was leprous. And interestingly enough, the leprosy was described as being like snow. In other words, it had turned his hand white. We see this also in Numbers chapter 12, verse 10, when Miriam was complaining about Moses. It said that when the cloud had withdrawn from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. And so Miriam, there as an act of God's judgment was turned into a leper, and her leprosy made her as white as snow. We also see that with Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 27, that his leprosy made him as white as snow. And so we find that there are times when God, in judgment, afflicted people with this disease of leprosy, not like we know leprosy today, but an albino form of leprosy, a form of leprosy that actually turned the skin white, that depleted all the pigment in the skin so that your actual hand or your body or your face would be turned white. And there is a sense when you see the snow and the ice that if it is severe enough and deep enough and caked on thick enough, it can actually be a symbol or a picture of the judgment of God. I know several years ago, again, when the ice storm came through, talking with the Wilsons, they were without electricity for 30 days. And to live without electricity for 30 days would be quite a challenge. And the Bible sometimes, not that that was God's judgment, but it's a picture sometimes of how God can use the elements, the severe elements of winter, even as a picture or a sign of God's judgment. In other places, for example, we find that hell is likened to a winter storm. Job 24, verse 19 says, drought and heat consume the snow waters, so does Sheol, those who have sinned. And actually, hell is described in the sense of a drought and heat consuming the snow waters, which actually would be something good. But here you find it somewhat likened to the way hell can destroy the refreshing waters of snow. So instead of a sign of judgment, here the snow waters would be something good that hell takes away. We also find in Psalm 78, verse 47, He destroyed their vines with hailstorms, their sycamore trees with frost. So all of these can be a picture of God's judgment. So when you look at ice and snow, I mean, it is a fearful thing. That's why many people were not able to come, because these things create danger. They create a certain sense of foreboding that something bad could happen. And it's interesting that ice and snow and frost can even reflect God's judgment, as one of the lights flickering on that elm tree, one of those colors would reflect the very character of God's judgment. Moving on from there, we also find that frost and snow and ice can reflect God's character in other ways. For example, God's gracious provision. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 14, it says that when the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness there was a fine flake-like thing, fine as the frost on the ground. Now, what's being talked about in that passage? Manna. So the manna had an appearance of frost on the ground. And if you take all the information that we know about manna, the manna didn't fall as loaves of bread on the ground. The manna fell like little flake-like things. It would probably look like something like frosted flakes. They were little flake-like things that would fall on the ground. They were white. They had the taste of wafers made out of honey, and they also had the appearance of fine frost on the ground. So as you walk out today and see all the frost and all of the sleet and all the frozen stuff on the ground, that's kind of what the manna would have looked like. And you can just imagine the Israelites who were in the wilderness at that time. They were hungry and they were starved. And they prayed for God to provide for them. And the next morning, lo and behold, the ground was covered with frost. It looked like frost. But they could go out and they could scoop it up and put it into baskets and take it home and actually eat it. And it was the manna that sustained them for the 40 years. And yet it had the appearance of frost on the ground. So when you go outside this morning and you look at the ground, and you see the real frost on the ground, let it remind you that all around us, God shows the character of His faithfulness to provide for His people. And let that be a testimony to you that God can and will provide for you according to your needs, according to His riches and glory. Because frost is a picture of God's ability to provide for the 2.5 million people in Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. It's a picture of God's faithfulness to us all around us. When snow and frost is on the ground, it speaks of God's power to provide for His people. Another one of the lights glistening on the tree for the glory of God. But there's another truth about God's character that's associated with ice and snow and frost. And that is, it speaks of His sovereignty. For example, in Job 37, verse 6, "For to the snow, He says, fall on the earth, and to the downpour and the rain, be strong." So it's God who commands the snow to fall. In Job 37, verse 10, it says, "From the breath of God, ice is made, and the expanse of the waters is frozen." It's by the very breath of God that ice exists. It was God who sent this ice storm. It was God who sends the rain and the snow and the frost. In Job 38, verse 22, "Have you entered the storehouses of the snow, or have you seen the storehouses of the hail?" And there the Lord is rebuking Job for his arrogance. And He's saying, "Have you entered into those storehouses? I have, because I created them. They belong to me." In Job 38, verse 29, "From whose womb has come the ice and the frost of heaven? Who has given it birth, O Job, since you are so wise and since you contend with me?" And of course, Job does not know. But God knows, because God is the one who creates it. In Psalm 147, verse 17, "He casts forth His ice as fragments. Who can stand before His cold? The winter snows, the blast of the wind, the ice, the frost, all of that belongs to God. He casts it forth. He creates it." Psalm 148, verse 8, "Fire and hail, snow and cloud, stormy wind, fulfilling His word." All of that, the ice, the snow, fulfills the word of God. It's all under God's sovereign control. So when you go out and you see the ice and the snow and the dangers and the beauty that's associated, it's a loud megaphone shouting out to us that God is sovereign, that God is in control. Another light flickering on the tree displaying the panoply of the rainbow of God's glory. In addition to God's judgment and God's provision and God's sovereignty, we also see an incredible picture of God's holiness through the images of ice and snow. In Daniel 7, verse 9, Daniel writes, "I kept looking until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took His seat, and His vesture was white snow, was like white snow, and the hair of His head was pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames, its wheels were a burning fire." So that when you depict the very holiness and glory of God, He is described as wearing garments that are as white as snow. Because the whiteness of snow, the purity of snow, the cleanness of snow is a perfect imagery to reflect the holiness of Almighty God. In Matthew 28, verse 3, when Christ was transformed, and the envelope of His humanity was cracked open just a hair so that the glory of His divine nature would shine forth through that, it says that His appearance was like lightning and His garment as white as snow. Again, because snow speaks to us something of the purity and the holiness of the God whom we worship. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And his head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire." So that now Jesus Christ, the very picture and image of the Lord Jesus himself, not his garments this time, but his very head and his very hair, the very countenance of his physical body, is white as snow, to depict his sinlessness, his purity, his holiness. So that when you go outside and you see that everything is blanketed with white, it is shouting again that God is holy, that Christ is sinless, that all of these are images that the Spirit of God chose to give us a picture of the glory of Christ in His holiness and His sinlessness. A beautiful picture to associate with the whiteness of the snow and the ice and the frost that's all around us today. Well, God's judgment, God's provision, God's sovereignty, and God's holiness are all depicted by snow and ice and frost. They are designed so that when we experience those things in life, that we can have some beautiful images of the glory of God, that the tree would be lit up and sparkling in all of the beautiful colors of the attributes of the God whom we worship. But there's more than that that is associated with ice and snow and frost, because the Bible tells us that it's also a beautiful picture of the effectual nature of the Word of God. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10, it says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word not go forth without accomplishing the purpose for which I sent it." So now we have the imagery of rain, frozen rain, even snow falling down to the earth, melting and through evaporation rising back up again into the clouds as a picture of the effectual, successful nature of the Word of God. That whatever word comes out of God's mouth, it falls upon the earth like rain and snow, and it will have its purpose. It will water the earth. It will accomplish the will of God. It cannot fail. And every word that comes out of the mouth of God falls like rain and snow that moistens the ground and gives water to plants and animals and humans and then rises up again, all in fulfillment of the Word of God for the purpose that God has in sending it. Every word of God, like snow, falls from above, accomplishes God's purpose, and then returns back to God absolutely 100% successful. So every word of God that we read, every promise of Scripture cannot fail. None of it can fail. None of it can be thwarted or frustrated. It will all effectually accomplish the good purpose for which God gave it. And what a tremendous encouragement for us in reading the Word of God, because this is infallible. It cannot be frustrated. It cannot fail. Every word of God will be successful and will be a blessing to those who put their trust and faith in it. Well, there are also pictures of ice and snow and frost that deal with the Christian life as well. So now we move from the character of God and the character of Scripture now to the character of godliness that we should imitate and emulate. I'm reminded of Proverbs 25, verse 13. "Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters." And then another one, "Like snow in summer and like rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool." And here snow is used in a positive way and a negative way to describe the kind of character that we should have as believers and followers of Christ. The first one is a positive one. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who sent him. Now, why is that? Why would the cold of snow in the time of harvest be a blessing, be a refreshment to the soul of others? Well, harvest time was the time of hard work and labor and sweat and heat. And to have the cold of snow would be a tremendous blessing. It would be like, the football players when they're playing a game and they're out there sweating and working up all this heat and straining and striving. They come over to the bench and they have these great blowers blowing mist, and sometimes they'll have buckets of ice blowing a cool air across their bodies. Why? Because it's so refreshing. It's so refreshing when you're out in the heat to come into an air-conditioned building. It revives you. And so that the cold of snow in time of harvest is to be the way you are to be as a blessing to other people. You are to be like the cold of snow in the summertime to other people. You are to come and bring a word of blessing, a cooling word to refresh the souls of other people. That's the positive way in which we can go outside and look at the snow around us and think, you know what? That's the kind of person I should be. That's the kind of way that I should be a blessing to those around me, that I should seek to imitate and speak words that will build up and refresh those whom I come in contact with. The negative picture that he gives is when he says, like snow in summer and like rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. There's another sense in which this snow in summer is very unusual. It's awkward. You don't expect to have it snow in summertime. And so he draws an analogy that you shouldn't give honor to a fool either. It's just not appropriate. And so there's a negative picture. In Proverbs 31, verse 21, ladies, snow is actually a good picture for qualities that you should strive to imitate. The woman there, the excellent woman, says she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. And there the snow is just a reference to the dangers and the hardships of winter time, but she's prepared. She's prepared for those things, and she dresses her family and ministers to her family in ways that they're not afraid of the snow. And it just speaks of the godly qualities of a woman who seeks to minister grace and provides for her family even in that way. Well, the final picture that I want us to draw our thoughts to for a moment this morning that deals with snow is just probably one of the most familiar ones that we come across in Scripture. And that is that snow is just an incredible picture of our salvation and redemption. In Psalm 51, verse 8, David writes, "Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." And in Isaiah 1:18, Isaiah wrote, speaking the words of God, "Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." And I've always enjoyed this particular picture of snow. That whenever you walk outside and you see how snow or ice can blanket everything that you see, cover up everything, it's a beautiful picture of the blood of Christ and its power to cleanse us and wash us and make us white as snow. And when you go outside and see the ground all covered with white, you can look at that and you can rejoice in it and say, that's a picture of me. That's a picture of what Christ's blood has done to wash away all of my sins. That I am as white as snow. I am forgiven. I am righteous in God's sight because of the gift of His righteousness. And that the blood of Christ has washed away the stain of all of my sins. It's a beautiful gospel picture of what the church is like because of what Christ has done. And so snow, ice, and frost are used in the Bible to depict not only the character of God in His judgment, His provision, His sovereignty, and His holiness, but it also pictures for us the faithfulness of Scripture, the character of a Christian, and the incredible beauty of the whiteness that describes all who have been by faith washed by the blood of Christ. And so that now, though our sins are as scarlet, they are white as snow. Because Christ has saved His people. So again, the next time you're slipping and sliding and walking across the snow and you see this incredible whiteness all around us, think of some of the biblical pictures that the Lord has included within Scripture. Things to meditate upon. Because as we look up into the heavens and we see the glory of God, we can see it in the snow and we can see it in the ice. It's all designed to teach us the glory of the God whom we worship, to rejoice in the salvation that Christ has wrought for us, and to give us security and confidence in trusting the faithfulness of His Word. All of these are pictures that ice and snow and frost give to the church to help us in worshiping our great God. So maybe these are some thoughts that you can take with you. And if you start to get cabin fever and you feel like you just can't wait for all this stuff to leave and melt and go away, stop and look at it as a blessing of God to help us to reflect on some of these truths that these things represent for us. Well, let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank You for the changing of the seasons. And Lord, we thank You that each season that we get to experience here in Oklahoma are seasons that are full of metaphors and pictures that resound Your glory and lift high Your name. And Lord, even in winter time, a time that many do not appreciate and many do not look forward to, and yet the cold and the snow and the ice and the frost are there to bring glory and honor to You. And Father, we pray that as we reflect upon Scripture, that we go outside and look upon the snow and the ice that will be falling even this day, that it will give us opportunities to pause and reflect about the way Your glory sparkles in so many different ways throughout Your creation. And may it fill our hearts with worship and praise as we see Your truth reflected in the snow and the ice around us. So bless this to our heart, we pray in Jesus' name.